principles or theories where who survived are the ones who adapt very well or adapt as quickly as possible. However, we definitely don't think everybody holds the same opinions, and we don't need to. Then I would say, like, definitely for me, especially for our show, where like cross-cultural focus show, we help people from East to West, where East meets West and West meets East, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked a lot of it, a lot of topics about like how the video games from China, let's say like Black Myth Wukong, I was very psyched to talk about it because it was the first 3A's level video games that got so welcomed and accepted in the mainstream in the Western market. Let's just say North America, right? Mm. And then I actually met some people, they say, hey, I actually built a platform where it allows people just use my platform, use AI to create some like 3A's video games like Black Myth Wukong. And I was like, oh, this is really great because people wanted to put their culture into it. Some people, they're not really great at making video games or movies or AI like films, but they are great at expressing their culture, right? They are like me. I'm passionate about helping bridging East and West. So that way I realized that, oh my God, I can now use AI as assistant. I don't have to hire a big team, but then I can put everything to do this cultural thing and then make it video games, films, or whatever it is. Or I create something to serve my audiences, to serve my clients, customers. So that become really possible. And you came all the way from East India and to West Vancouver right now. And could you share a little bit opinion about what the possibility that you would do to bridging the culture, bring your culture and welcome other cultures into this AI industry that you do? Like, let's brainstorm a little bit.
Absolutely. That is a great question. I think AI education and just helping people understand the basics will give them that, like, you know, that small step that they need to take, because once they take that small steps, everything becomes easier.
Right.
Because the first step will feel the hardest because it's the unknown unknown. And once people take the first step, the path forward becomes a lot clearer. And the first step is you listening to this is learning more about AI. And I would just give a brief overview of the entire AI system. So like they get an idea of what they can do, right? Let's say when people say AI, it is mainly the large language model. When you think of AI, it could be ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, all of these are AI models.
Right.
And how do you utilize it? For you to utilize these large language models, there are a couple of ways you can do it.
Right.
Not just going into your ChatGPT app and texting it. There is something called an API. And you can connect, think of it like a connecting plug.
Right.
So you need not go to ChatGPT's website to use ChatGPT. You can use an API and just call ChatGPT.
Right.
Now, think of the same way for your image generation or video generation. There is Sora from ChatGPT, there's Google's Veo, and there's a lot of other models such as Kling and so on that are really booming up.
Right.
And you can use these models on their platforms as well as API.
Right, right.
Now, when, let's say you are in a business or for you, you want to promote your show, right? How, when you think of promotion, it is mainly content or let's say a piece of post for your LinkedIn or any social media platform. So when you say, hey, this is my idea, but I want to craft a good polished post from my previous post, what the AI is able to do is if you set up an automation on a no-code automation platform, such as N8N, that's what we are hosting the live workshop for.
Right.
You are able to upload your previous post and say, hey, this is my idea. Give it an idea. And it is able to take your idea, understand your previous post and the way you write and communicate. And it is able to create a post for you to be able to review. Because end of the day, you are the brains behind your voice.
Okay.
And AI is able to mimic your voice, but not your brains.
Right. Okay. That sounds really good explanation to walk me through how practical AI is. I would still have to hands-on trying it. Like that's why sometimes the workshop helps, or we just watch some videos. Actually, we can get free knowledge online or from people around us, right? But now we're going to get back to the topic where sounds like to me the AI is always a tool if you can use it very well, like you see it differently, right? If you see it could replace you or as a competitor, you will be like threatened. But if you see it as a system, then you probably will be like feel lightweighted. However, I would bring back to some controversial topic in terms of culture, since our show is not just, you know, negotiation is all different kind of ways. So we call communicator. That's why, right? Like we communicate, we collaborate with people. So that's why. But then also, I know that Indian people in Vancouver are really hardworking, and Chinese people are hardworking as well. So it's very possible that people just see each other as competitors, and then there could be some negative emotion towards your competitors. How do you see that? How's the Indian community here, and how do people see like the Chinese community here? Do they see them as competitor? How could we find the good roles, principles to adapt and collaborate with each other?
That is a great question. Many people do see competition as a bad thing, but I would say competition is a great thing because that's what pushes you to be the best and also pushes the other person to be the best.
Right, that's correct.
Because if there's no competition, like, you're not pushing yourself to do the best, right? And especially with AI, like, this unlocks a different level of wealth transfer. The reason being, think of it this way. Now, let's say Starbucks, right? They spend about, what, $400 million every year on like advertising, marketing, all of that. And they have huge teams. Now, with AI, you're able to go against a big company like Starbucks.
Right.
Without having a huge team behind you. With the power of AI.
Right.
As long as you're able to jump in, understand what is the output needed for your business. And how can I use AI, not just going to ChatGPT every single time to create something, but use systems which will help scale and give more for the time input you put in. So think of it in systems. And I would say there is competition, don't get me wrong, but it is great to have competition. And if there is competition, it means there is something that is working for someone.
Right, right. Wow, that is a great, I would also say, like, for me, I grew up in China, and our educational system was very competitive, but that really cultivated my resilience and made me become like better myself, not because I wanted, because I was very young, but also the hardworking to be like a better self, just be like, because I have to get it, right? So I think Chinese people used to be in the place where we were underdeveloped. Mm-hmm. And we use all of our resources and gather together, being united, and just manufacture really crazy. And then now we actually get into a better place. However, the society is also super competitive. Mm-hmm. And now we saw that India, they become also very hardworking, and then they have like great population. I would say like people, the Indian people that I met in Vancouver, they're kind of rich. So I don't know like if they're could represent all India people, but like I'm pretty sure that they also, you know, because they also have resources, but some people are like really hardworking. So I heard some of my Chinese colleagues or friends, they'd be like, oh my God, that, you know, sometimes you do some work, even you go do labor work, that the Indian in the industry, that just like they take everything, they're just like they are really hardworking, like you cannot compete because they charge real low price with like a lot of like hardworking, and then they have a lot of resources. So that could become like, I was like, oh, now I know they're not just like rich Indian here, there are like a lot of hardworking people, they're trying to make their way out. So now like I really wanted to know, how's your experience in the Vancouver in these 3 years, not just transferring in the new industry, and how do you embrace all this diverse community? Because I met you in a very diverse community platform, so I definitely can see that you are not just engaged in your own community, but also talk to other people, including the mainstream here, who local here, also including me, like Chinese people. Like, how's your experiences, and what are your suggestions to people are coming from India, from China, from East to West?
Absolutely, that's a great question, and I love your perspectives to say there are a lot of rich Indians, and I would say there are a lot of rich Asians as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, because I would say the Indian community and the Asian community both are hardworking. Like anyone who's come from a different place, they want to have a different and a better life here. So all the people I've met are hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the question again?
Yeah, the question was like, you know, how could you, like, what kind of suggestions or advice that you could share with people who are coming?
On newcomers.
Yes, right. from East to West, or even like you can literally just talk about how to eliminate or at least reduce the bias between two or different. Actually, in Vancouver, it's definitely not two. It's like multicultural. Like, yes. How can we get, you know, some way to bridge each other, to bridge Chinese and Indian, to bridge Chinese and the other ethnicities here? And then also, how do we see Indian immigrants that to adopt to this society, and be ready to embrace the multicultural culture here in Vancouver?
Absolutely. When anyone comes to a brand new country, I have seen this happen a lot. Even during my college days, I saw people grouping up with people in their own community.
Yes, for sure.
Like anytime I went to a class, like all the Indians are sitting together, all the Chinese are sitting together, all the Koreans are sitting together. I'm like, come on, man. You moved across seas to come here,
right,
to experience something new, and you end up like going back to the circles where you could have just stayed home.
Yeah. I mean, like, that sounds a little bit offensive, but that's correct. I do like, not disagree with that.
Right. So, like, I would encourage everyone to just push themselves to explore, connect with new people, because end of the day, we all are humans, and there's no difference, just from like each of us have diverse backgrounds and cultures, rich cultures.
Right.
I would say embrace those cultures, but be open to understand and learn about different cultures as well.
Yes.
Because I have learned a lot more about other cultures and how other people are what they do, and I come to appreciate their culture as well, and I come to appreciate my culture as well.
Yes.
And I would say, be open, be respectful, and I would say sky is the limit. Because once you're open, like, people are more open as well.
Right?
It's kind of reciprocal. But let's say you are open, people are more open as well.
Right. I totally agree. I think that's the same thing as adopting AI, to be honest. To me, it's kind of like different groups have different strength. Like, I definitely understand and support the united culture as like the Chinese communities, and they have different kind of groups. They celebrated like Chinese Lunar New Year event like last Sunday. I went, it was just amazing. And then you could see how the power become bigger, and people are sharing the resources and helping each other. So I feel like that's great, and that's the reason why it existed that way. However, like you said, immigrants come to the different culture because we do want to be a better version of ourselves, and using that environment to motivate us to become like stronger and more powerful, resourceful, smarter, and more hardworking. So that way, I think, as if adopting AI as assistant to kind of do what we are not good at, or we don't want to spend time on it, we can also see, hey, this group of this culture, they have different kind of mindset and they have different kind of resources, right? If for me, if Indian groups here are more hardworking, then I definitely would love to collaborate with them and see, hey, this is what we have, this is what they have, especially they have resources, they have labor, they have like this power, and they also have like money to all collaborating together, just like you and me sitting together sharing on the same topic. So yeah, that's how I feel about this thing. But it's definitely challenging because, like you said, every group sitting with each other isolated, and then it's just such a challenge to kind of like, hey, I go to them and I say, can I join, right? Or somebody say some bad thing and I have to swallow it. I have to be able to emotionally adjust myself very well. But that's also ability, though.
Absolutely. That is also an ability. And I would say the more you put yourself outside your comfort zone, the comfort zone becomes an arm.
Oh, yeah, I love that, you know. I totally love that. I felt, you know, before I actually met some people who, let's say, this person, if I met you, for example, and then you're from India and you're being rude to me, and I would be like, all Indians are just like...
All categorization, you mean?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, they're bad because this person is bad, right? And he's been like an asshole to me. But nowadays, I realize it's more of individual, because I met Chinese people who are like just kind of mean, or, you know, it's just happened in that situation. Or I came here, some people are Caucasian, they're just like, you know, actually they're very nice, but maybe one person is just kind of condescending and be like, oh, this is what white people do. That's like, you know, actually now, like, as time goes on, as I accumulated more experiences, I realized that's really not true, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like there are bad apples in every bag, maybe, but the whole bag is not bad apples.
Yeah.
You know? So then more number of people you meet, the better idea you have as to what are their tendencies towards.
Right.
So you get a better understanding. But overall, like, many people do say, like, they feel, you know, there's like people are racist towards them and all of that. I mean, people might have been racist towards me, but I let it go from this year and go from that year.
Yeah.
So it does not affect me as much as it used to. And I think having a certain sense of, pardon me, don't give a fish.
Okay, right.
So, like, end of the day, we all are humans.
Right.
Eventually, all of us are going to age and die.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
having someone else's 1 minute of bad behavior affect my 24 hours would be an utter waste of my 24 hours.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's a great philosophy. I loved it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think Vancouver is such a place where it can practice itself to embrace this multicultural, and like you literally just have to talk to people, right? What's the point to come all the way here and stay in the same environment where you could just stay in, you could have in China or India, right? Like, because to be honest, that there's a lot more to explore if you just wanted to stay in a Chinese community when you're in China. Mm-hmm. So when you come here, instead of like saying, hey, this person might be a badass, like, you know, it's just like, this person might be mean to me just because how it looks like, how she looks like, what's the color of their skin. That's literally a waste of the time and a waste of your life. Yes. However, and also Vancouver is such a... I have to say, this is such a civilized place. Like, everybody is overly polite. It's just like, you know, everybody's super well-mannered. And most of people are very well-educated. Not talking about their educational degree, but they just like how they think about things. They're
and
just...
they carry themselves, right?
Exactly. So I think this is a great place to really, like, step out of your comfort zone, like you said, and then embrace our cultures. You immediately find that you just grow, or you probably face some backlash sometimes, but then you realize that, oh, actually, it's just that. It's just that. Like,
it's not the end of the world. Right?
Yeah, the emotion comes and goes, and the next time when you face it, you become, like, less uncomfortable. And then later on, you become like, oh, I actually can say something to ease that out.
Yes.
And then you become, like, socially great.
and then
that become your capability, actually. This is what I found. But to be honest, I barely met any situation where I feel people are being racist to me. So maybe that's because of the perspective.
Absolutely. Because perspective changes the way you perceive anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you have a good perspective and you go with an open heart and everything seems good.
Mm.
Like, if you start off with a bad perspective and you go into anything, however good it is, you feel it is bad. Because you're seeing through that lens.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think it totally makes sense, and also connected to our early topic with AI. It's the same thing. It's like, this is threatened. This is something that's unfamiliar because it's new or have different kind of thing, different skin, different eyes, or different kind of technology stuff. But then do I choose to really anti it? Or I probably try it a little bit. But like, that's how I feel about it. But however, individuals are very different. So I totally don't suggest you to think everybody's the good person.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Actually, I'm kind of against that point where you're not suggesting every person to be a good person.
Mm.
I would say every person is a good person.
Mm.
And if they are stepping on your toes, like, you need not give them that energy to be able to step on your toes.
Yes.
And coming to the point where you said, you know, hey, AI, learning about AI is important.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of you guys watching and hearing this, is you might feel it's daunting with all the news, all the release of latest AI models, all the release of new tools every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, for me, someone who is in AI and doing it every single day, like, even I feel overwhelmed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But end of the day, don't get overwhelmed and just switch between everything.
Mm-hmm.
They call this shiny object syndrome. Like,
shiny ops. what is that called?
It's called shiny object syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So if they see something new, they hear something new, they jump into that and jump into this, jump into this. So instead, I would recommend just take 5 minutes and take a piece of pen and paper and say, hey, there are all these tasks that I regularly do. Which of these tasks I like? Which of these tasks I don't like? Which of these tasks that are not needed, so you can just eliminate them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can see, okay, these are the tasks that are taking so much of my time, which
right.
I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Take the task
mm.
and just go to Google and say, how to automate this.
Mm.
That's it.
Okay.
And you can go down the YouTube rabbit hole
mm.
or you can go down the Google rabbit hole. But once you put that there,
mm-hmm.
it'll give you solutions.
Right.
It could be, say, hey, you can use Bolt. You can use Lovable. You can use Cursor. You can use V0.
Mm.
Now, don't get overwhelmed with the number of tools over there.
Right.
But say, hey, you know what? You can look at, I don't know, 5-minute video for each
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, you know what, this tool I feel is much more better for me
mm.
and you dive deep into that one particular thing
mm.
until like that is not able to solve your problem
mm.
right once you dive deep into that tool
mm.
you know more than 90% of the people
mm-hmm.
who switch between all those tools
mm.
and say none of them work.
Okay.
Because AI might not work immediately for you,
mm.
but as you dive deeper, fine-tune it,
mm.
it is going to work out.
Right.
Or you might be using the wrong tool altogether for the outcome you're looking
right.
for. So that gives you a better idea.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the advice. I think to conclude, today we talk about AI, how should we actually try it out instead of like against it in the first place. We can against it later on when we tried it. Or we also talked about like the different culture, right? And you see as adopting AI, it's like don't against this whole thing because of it's just a different culture or because it's just different, like it's just AI. Just go specific with, hey, what this person is or what this technology could help me specifically in which part. That way, no matter associating with people or no matter if we just get better career, better work, how to say, like the speed of work,
yes.
better like efficiency. We try it and then we can see, hey, we actually really don't like it. But
yeah.
then otherwise, you probably surprised yourself with how you failed in the first place.
Because AI is not going to replace you. It's going to be a person using AI replacing you.
Right, exactly. But yeah, like you also, yeah, like everybody has their own freedom to make decision for themselves. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. And our show is called Call Me Negotiator. Broadcasting show airs every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. Vancouver time on CJSF 90.1 FM and live at CJSF.ca. And our Chinese live stream is available on WeChat Video channel 野蛮生长夏洛特. If you have questions, topic ideas, or would like to join us as a guest, please email callmenegotiator@gmail.com. I am Charlotte and thank you for listening and I will see you next week. Bye bye.
Thank you guys. Bye.
界就是轻轻